Thank you so much for the introduction there, Roy. That, oh man, I hope I can live up to what's being shared. But before I do share whatever I'm going to share today, I believe that I've been praying about it, and I always have an agenda wherever I go. So you may say that today's talk is an agenda, but I'm so hungry. But yeah, with his glasses, I go, yeah. But he's calm, cool, and collective. And he has a passion for church planting and a passion for people and a passion for God that I myself am just really, really loving. You know how, I don't know whether it radiates, but my office is right next to his. And the energy that comes through the wall is just. But you know what, though? There is energy that comes through when Roy comes in. But honestly, it's Jinha's office. She's in there. Wisdom comes through. No. This couple is, I love how they do ministry, their innovation, their passion, and their love for God. And it's a blessing for you guys to have them here. So thanks, Roy and Jinha, for inviting me. I don't know who invited me, actually. Was it you, Roy? Yeah. Hey, let's pray, and then we'll get into it, eh? Father God, just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you this morning or this afternoon here at church. It's an opportunity and an honor for me to share what you've placed in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that this message will inspire to remind me that I've got to use the clicker, eh? Okay, cool. Today I wanted to talk to you guys about healthy foundation. A healthy foundation is key. This is the content of my presentation today. About us. Yeah, it's not working. So about us. So I am married. We have two kids. We are a family of four. And my wife and I met at Avondale. Avondale, that place up north in New South Wales. Great place. We met in 2002 and we started going out in 2013, and we welcomed our daughters Haven and Cora. Haven is 7 and Cora is now 3. She was little and they knew, and nobody else knows anything. But God knows more than anybody. I know the same as Mum, but and my three-year-old is, Haven, nobody knows anything. I know everything. So I'm like, okay, fair enough. Our ministry has included stints in Karalundi. I don't know if you've heard of Karalundi. Karalundi Aboriginal Education Centre. So this is a place that is located 870 kilometres north of Perth. It's in the middle of nowhere. The only thing that's there is a school. The nearest town is about 60 kilometres, and it was dreamed up for our Indigenous folks. So I served there for 3 years as a chaplain from 2005 to 2008. And then we moved down to Perth, where I became a chaplain at high school and also pastor, assistant pastor. Served there for 3 years. And after that, I became the university chaplain, and we also planted a church there. The university made the Adventist chaplain as a chaplain for the whole university. So they gave us an office, they gave us a parking spot. Everything that we did there was free, and they gave us a budget, which is really cool. So I was in there, and we're going to do some more training into the conference mission of discipleship. Sorry, some changes. But where does the family ministries and children's ministry fit into the conference mission of the church? Our vision as a department is that every family to be a discipleship hub, connecting and nurturing our families into a long, lifelong relationship with Jesus. Our mission is to support, equip, and empower our families and our leaders in our local church. If you're wondering what controls. So my passion is that I want a church where my daughters grow up, they can make mistakes, but the church is going to embrace them and empower them to keep going. And my prayer is that we will do the same for your kids, that we will create a church culture where your kids feel they belong, feel they too can have a say in what happens going into the future. That's our vision and that's our mission. Here are our goals. First objective is that we want to strengthen relationships and marriages, because we believe when relationships are strong and marriages are firm and healthy, there's healthy communities, strong churches that do discipleship. And here's how we're going. We're trying to achieve our first objective. We run family relationships or relationship workshops. We've also come up with family serving together days where we encourage families to look outside and see how they can serve together as a family. And we had this conversation last night with my family. We were doing worship like Roy. He was using the joyful worship. We were doing the same last night. And it got to the point where, how do we live out our gifts? And we got a conversation happening, and my daughter said, "Dad, I know what we can do together as a family. We can go to the nursing home and sing a song." And I'm like, "Baby, do you realize who your dad is? I cannot sing." And she said, "But I can sing." And I'm like, "Well, okay, you can sing. You and Mom can go. I'll just sit in a car and wait for you guys." But family serving together, there's so much benefit when families serve together. It helps the faith of your young people, of your kids. It stabilizes their faith in Jesus. It gives them the opportunity to live out Jesus' mission and great commission. So that's one. The other one is family worships. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, the Worship Project. Now, the Worship Project is something that a good friend of mine and a very good leader, Sylvia Mendes, is helping us put together. She's actually come up with this, and this is beautiful. This is also, if you want to know more about it, come and talk to me afterwards. But this is available at ABC. We value family worships. And I'll talk to you about family worships as time goes on. The other thing that we've come up with is the joyful worship. And I'll show you some pictures of what I mean. Objective number two is we want to support the local churches, children ministry and their leaders by monthly newsletters and updates and resource lists. Also preaching around the place and bringing light and awareness to children's ministries. Leadership training days. Love if you have, if you want to grow in your leadership, please talk to us if you want to know more about how to start, how to sustain a children's ministry. Please make contact with us. We'd love to help and support, help create kids-friendly churches and a culture that allows kids to grow. Objective number three is we want to listen to understand the need of our local church and then do something about it. Too often, I've heard people talk, but nothing has been done. So we want to hear what you have to say, and we want to support by doing something. So those are our goals and objectives as a department going forward. A healthy foundation is key. I want to share with you today two life-changing practices that I hold dear to my heart. These two practices have molded and have shaped my life and have shaped me as a person today. It has also sustained me on my journey throughout the different stages of my life. Hello, this is on? I like walking around, so I hope you don't mind. So these two life-changing practices that have sustained me for the duration of my journey has a single guy coming out of Avondale College, going into ministry by myself. The other one is when I became a pastor, like this
lifestyle or this practice has sustained me as a young pastor learning the ropes and learning what to do in different situations and how to deal with different people. It has sustained me when I was a boyfriend to my girlfriend. It has sustained me in how to be a good boyfriend and then eventually becoming a very proud husband and now a very proud and excited father. These two practices that have changed my life are well known to us, and they are one, personal time with God, our personal devotion, and the second one is family worships. However, these two life-changing practices only work if we actually put them to practice. That's the catch. They only work. They will only ever work if we actually implement them into our daily lives. It's just like an apple. If I put an apple up here, and you're probably sitting there thinking, man, that apple looks so good. It's so juicy. But you wouldn't experience the deliciousness of that apple unless you take it and bite into it. You wouldn't know and understand the healthy benefits of an apple if you just look at it. It's not until you take it and bite into it that you realize this apple is actually delicious. You know what they say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's the same with personal devotion. We won't know how great God is unless we implement it, unless we put it to practice. Open your Bible, please, to Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 10 to verse 11. Daniel chapter 6. If you don't want to read from the screen, you can read from your Bible. But Daniel chapter 6 says this, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." I want to park it there for a minute. Park that verse there for a minute. I want to ask you the question. What happens, or what is a personal time with God? Sorry, can you change slides, please? What is personal time with God? All right. I know I've got my definition up there, but let's open it up for a little while. What do you think a personal time with God is? Everyone's thinking about it, eh? Is that why you're not answering? Yeah. What is a personal time, or what is a personal time with God? Well, let me break the ice. Let me break the silence. According to that definition, it's a regular appointment that we keep with God that allows us to block out other distractions and focus on our connection with Jesus through prayer, Bible study and meditation. Some of us listen to Christian music, and some of us love reading books. So the big thing about our time with God, or personal time with God, is having a regular time where we block everything else out and spend time with God. And focus on His Word by reading and studying. I believe that understanding the definition of what personal time with God is helps us bust some of the myths that might surround this life-changing practice. So if I was to ask you, what's your favorite movie? Most of you will probably start thinking, oh yeah, I like this movie. Some of you will probably think, oh man, I've got so many that I like. But you'll probably rattle off a few. But if you are like me, that you love certain movies and shows, there's a chance that you've told everybody that you know how good that show is. Some of you love social media. You probably put a comment up on social media saying, oh, this movie is so good, you should watch it. Yeah? Some of you have just been bragging about it to your friends. Oh, I paid to go to the movies and I watched this. It's incredible. You should watch it. But no matter how much we tell people how good the movie is and how much people say, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah, I heard some reviews. It was really good. It's not until they sit down themselves and actually watch the movie that they realize, oh, yeah, this is a good movie. It's the same with personal devotion. You can tell somebody about God, but it's not until that person actually takes time and set aside time and they block out a time where they can spend with God, they realize how good God is. No matter how much Roy comes up here and he preaches about God, it's not until we or you implement a special time that you set aside to be with God that you will experience and come to appreciate who He is. That you understand who He is and what He has done for us. It's not enough for us to hear about God through pastors, through our small groups, or something that you've watched online. To fully appreciate God and know God, we must seek Him and meditate on His Word. And that is personal devotion. Daily devotional or daily personal devotional worship is very beneficial for us. And here's why. There are 7 benefits that I've come up with. There are many more, but this is what I've come up with so far. Benefits of personal time with God. 1, daily personal time with God helps build your faith. 2, it draws you closer to God. 3, it helps you focus on God and hear Him speak to you. 4, personal devotional time with God encourages you to persevere in life. It helps you gain deeper understanding of His Word. Personal devotional time with God inspires you to apply God's Word daily. And personal time with God gives you peace and joy. Sorry, could you? Yeah. So what happens when we spend time with God? What happens when we spend time with God? I love what Ellen White says here. The more you associate with the Master, the more closely you will resemble Him. The more you associate with the Master, the more you resemble Him. Sorry, I went backwards there. There's another saying by Greg Groeschel, and he says this, there is no such thing as intimacy with God without consistent intentionality. Setting that time aside. Now, the story of Daniel is a very powerful one. We know the story of Daniel when he's in the lion's den. But the start of that story was that the king, he had thought, wow, Daniel is actually of good character, and I'm going to put him in charge. There's 3 officers, and Daniel was one of them. He was the highest officer. But the king thought, man, Daniel has shown so much. I'm going to make him top officer. And the others heard about what was going to happen, and they were jealous. They were jealous, and they worked out that they want to do something to make Daniel, to frame Daniel, so Daniel doesn't get this role. And the story goes that they looked for everything that they could find, and they couldn't find anything against Daniel. And finally, when they sneaked around and they saw Daniel praying, they actually got the king to sign a law saying that anyone that worships anybody other than the king will be thrown into the lion's den. And they were sneaking around and they saw Daniel praying. And this verse that we've just read says that it was his usual thing to do. Spending time with God was Daniel's usual thing to do. And the verse says that he spent time with God 3 times a day. That was the time that he actually put in his diary, in his calendar, on his day that he says, I am spending that time with God and I'm going to be consistent with it. There's a saying that Craig Rochelle, and I love this saying, he said, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. Now, if we want to grow in our faith and we want to go in knowledge of God, we got to be consistent with spending time with Him. And the Bible verse that we read today about Daniel says that it was his usual thing to do. It was a habit. So when Daniel was caught doing this prayer, spending time with God, you know the story, he was thrown into the lion's den. The lions were hungry that day, but unfortunately, they didn't get a feed that night. Poor lions. They had to go throughout the night without a feed because Daniel was in the lion's den. And it says that the next morning, the king went and called Daniel, come out. And Daniel said, here, I'm still alive, king. In order for Daniel to face the lion's den, he had to spend time with God. He knew his time with God was important, so that his time with God actually made him confident in who he was, confident in the God that he served. He was only able to face the lions because he spent time with God. He was only able to face the challenges of life because he made a priority. His personal devotional life was consistent. And I believe that we can experience the same. Whatever you're going through today, right now, let me encourage you. Like Daniel, he was able to stand up and sit with the lions. I don't know what happened in that lion's den, whether he was talking to the lions, whether he was joking around the lions, whether he was patting the lions. I don't know. But all I know is that his time with God made him confident sitting in that lion's den. His time with God gave him the confidence that he will stay alive, that God had his back. And that's my challenge for us, God's children, God's family, God's community. Our time with God is so important and so vital. It prepares us to face the challenges. This is what Ellen White says in Steps to Christ. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Give it over to God. And she said, let this be your prayer. Take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. Giving to Jesus your day helps you stand confidently throughout. The other verse that I want to look at today is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 9. Now, this is the mandate that is given to us. And this is the mandate, and this is the verse that we use our mandate as a family and children ministries department. This is so important. This is what it says. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your house and on your gates. I was just sharing with Will this afternoon. It was, thank you so much for sharing. It's always good going to a church. And there's people that actually go out of their way to talk to you. And today, thank you, Will, for making the effort to go out of your way to chat. Kay was also very helpful today, so thank you for making me feel welcome. It's really nice to come to a church where the atmosphere is created. So today, I was talking to Will, and we were talking about how we became Adventists, how our family became Adventists. Now, and I was telling him about my grandmother. My mom. So she is biologically my grandmother, but she brought me up, so I call her mom. She was a staunch Christian, not an Adventist, but a very staunch Christian who loved Jesus. And I believe that the day when Jesus comes, take us to heaven, that she will be there. But she was not an Adventist, but she loved God. And she, for me, she epitomized personal devotional time with God. Because she would wake up early in the morning at about 5 o'clock every single morning to make sure that we had family worship. She would wake up. We lived in this house where it was funny because the center of it was the lounge room. And then one end was two bedrooms. And through the lounge room was another room on one side. It was really awkward. But if you're in the lounge room, you'll hear everything. Or if you're in a room, you'll hear everything that happens in the lounge room. And about 5 o'clock every single morning, my mom will get up and come and sit in the lounge room. And she'll start singing really, really loud. She'll start singing, "When I rise up in the morning." She'll start off nice and quiet, but then it gets louder and louder and louder to the point where you just can't sleep anymore because it's so loud. And, you know, sometimes you sleep through really nice sounding music. But this is my grandmother we're talking about. She wasn't an angel in terms of her voice. She was terrible, but I wasn't game to tell her. So she would sing really loud. And after 5 minutes or so, no one's come to worship. She'll get up. And she'll find the most potent weapon in the house of mass destruction, her shoe. And she'll walk around to our rooms and she will beat us up so that we can come to worship. Has an island kid, when you see that shoe, you run. You're up. So we were up. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, she would sing very loud and make sure that everyone hears it. Otherwise, she'll go and pick us up and bring us to worship. So we'll come and drag our feet to worship. Some of us will come with our blankets and we'll be sitting there singing and then worshiping. And at the end of it, when I grew up and I look back and reflect at what she had done, it could have been a very negative experience. I could have thought, wow, that is so mean. I don't want to be part of this. She's forcing me to worship at this time. I'm missing out on sleep. But it had the opposite effect on me. Because it was during those family worship moments where I learned that God had a plan for my life. It was during those family worships where I learned my mom has my back no matter what. That I was her child and I was protected and I was loved. It was during those family times or worships that I knew that I don't have to be scared, that I just can try my best. It was during those family worship times where I was so confident in who I was because my mom told me that you're my son and I'm always there when you need me. Family worships is so important. Now, she was very strict in that I was telling Will this, and this is part of my story. This is part of who I am and why I'm here today is because of this lady. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her setting the foundation, strong, healthy foundation for me. She was very strict in that she made me memorize scripture. She'll give me a whole chapter to memorize for the whole week. The first one I can remember, I was about 7 or 8. She made me memorize Psalms 121.
And every single day, I would learn something or memorize a verse or two. And I couldn't play outside until I memorized that verse. And then on Friday, or Saturday, sorry, because we didn't go to church on Saturday. We didn't go to church. We weren't Adventists. So on Saturday, she'll sit me down in front of her. And I had to recite back to her what I've memorized during the week. And if I got anything wrong, she was that strict that she will whack me or she will hit me. Don't do this to your kids, please. Please don't recall that. No, but she was that strict. She said, you got to memorize this thing. And then the next thing I know, I was learning Romans chapter 12. I was learning John chapter 14 and chapter 15, Isaiah, all these verses I was learning as a kid. I was getting very mad. I was like, seriously, why are you so mean? Why are you the meanest mother in the world? I can't even play outside. And it wasn't until she passed away that I realized the importance of what she was doing. That was a foundation that she set for me today. She passed away. She didn't make it to hospital. Passed away as they were making their way to the hospital on February 23rd, 1996. It's a night that I will never forget because it was a night that I cried and I cried for the next 6 months asking God. All the verses that my mom made me memorize told me that you loved me, that you're always there for me. Yet you've taken away the one thing that I knew in my life. The one thing that was my solid foundation and you took it away. God, I don't like you. And every time I said that to God, God will always take me back to those verses and passages that my mom made me memorize. And every time I went back to those passages, those passages exuded the love of Jesus. The Seventh-day Adventist pastor came and had Bible studies with us. For 6 months, he was faithful. Every Monday night for 6 months, he would come, sit down, and take us through Bible studies. At the end of it, there was three of us. And he looked at the first two and he asked them, "Do you want to get baptized?" And they both said, "No, we don't, Pastor. Thank you." And I was the last one and I had to make a split-second decision. I did not want to get baptized. He looked at me, "What about you, Willie?" And I said, no, yes. I felt sorry for him. So I said, yes, I'll get baptized. So I became an Adventist, got baptized October 12, 1996. I was 15, made a decision for Jesus. But family worship set the foundation for me. It was during those times where my mom told me, God has a plan for your life. I remember I was about 9 years old. And before my mom went and started singing and getting us all for worship, I used to stay with my mom in the same room. I woke up and I was about 4:30 or something before she started worship. And my mom was praying over me. And I remember exactly what she said. In Samoan, she said, "God, may you bless my son and use him in your work somehow." I cried when I first got my payslip as a pastor. I was 23 when I became a pastor, 24. And I cried when I first got my payslip because all I wanted to do was go back and buy some flowers and say, "Thank you so much, Mom, for the foundation you set for me. I'm here today because I had no idea. But this is what God and you have been working towards." So this is my 20th year of being a pastor. I love it. This is my life. It's who I am. But it was from those times, family worships. So important. So, so important. You ground kids and you let them know who they belong to. There's myths around family worships. And when we understand what family worship is about, these myths get busted. The first myth is that family worship must be led
just like a church service. Family worship is fun. It's got to be fun. The other myth is that dad must always lead devotional time. What happens when dad's not around? What happens if you're a single mom or a single dad? You lead family worship. You lead your kids to that cross. The third myth is that everyone must sit still and be quiet for family worships to be effective. That's not true. My daughter can't sit still. She's always doing something. So my wife and I, we have to be creative to get her involved. But just because she's moving around does not mean that she's not engaging. Because I know, last night, for an example, I was talking and she was just playing, and then she'll pop up her head and she'll blur out something really profound. I'm like, okay, you get your brains from me. Thank you very much. And my wife's like, no, no way. Here are some creative ideas to do family worships. Keep the worship time short. Don't have to do a long session. Focus your time together on God. Do not use your time to correct your kids. Make the time together interactive rather than only reading and lecturing. Sorry, guys, it's not working again. Consider the following ways. If you want this, I can share this with you at the end. But here's just some ways to do worship. One of the things that we did as a family was I was sitting there. I was like, man, what do we do for worship tonight? And my daughter was like, Dad, how can I trust you? And I'm like, you can trust me, I'm your dad. She goes, no. That's worship. Can we do something that you can show us that we can trust? I'm like, ah. So we did a trust fall. Lasted for 5 minutes and it was fun. She keeps saying, Dad, can we do that again? The other one was, we were sitting there and I'm thinking, man, how can we make worship fun tonight? And I remember there was a torch next to me and I just picked up the torch and I'm like, ah, let's turn all the lights out in the house, and I turned on the torch and I said, okay, now follow me. And we just walked around the house. And my daughter was like, yeah, let me do it. Let me do it. My turn. And she took the torch and she led us around the house and she led us to the cupboard where I hide my lollies. And she goes, one for you, Mom, one for you, Dad, two for me. I'm like, no, you're not doing this again. But our passage was, you know, you're the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. And that's all worship was. It was fun. It was memorable. It was simple. So make time in worship fun. Now, this is the worship project that the AUC and us are working on or have been working on. If you want to take that, the website, you can download the app. The app is fantastic. There's so many resources in there you can use for your family worship. And this is what Roy was talking about earlier on, the joyful worship. Very simple. We've just started it this month, but it's very simple. This is what it looks like. This is day 24, which is today. That Bible verse, Romans 14:1, we just read that verse, and then we use the acronym JOY. J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for you. So the questions we ask is, how are you connecting with Jesus? How's your relationship with Jesus? What is Jesus saying to you this verse? So it's all about Jesus, so it's connecting you with Jesus. And then the O is others, and the idea behind that is, what are you doing to disciple others? What are you doing to share Jesus with others? That's the idea. So all the questions are based on, what are you doing for others? And then the Y is you. What are you doing to grow yourself? And we asked the questions very simple so the kids could understand and the kids could learn. And then we have a little thought to remember at the end there. So today's thought is, if you want to lift yourself up, lift somebody else up. And that's the basis of that. It's a very simple worship, but you can use this anytime, anywhere, with anyone. So, folks, that's my agenda today. Personal relationship and personal devotional time is very vital for our growth. And then secondly, our family devotion time. Make it fun, make it simple, make it interactive, make it memorable. We don't have to make it boring. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for reminding us today how important it is that we spend time with you. And I know that is your heart as well, that you want to hear from us, that you want to spend that quality time getting to know us. And you want us to get to know you because, Father, when we know you, oh, there's so much that we need to know about you. You give life, you give hope, you give a future, you protect, you love, you care. The list goes on, God, of who you are. And it's not until we spend that time with you that we understand the depth of that love. The depth of that love that drove you all the way to the cross because of us and for us. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will inspire us today to continue building on whatever we have in our lives so that we can spend that quality time with you. And, Father, I see so many families today. The busyness of life that we often neglect or often forget to spend time together. And I know, Father, how important it is for families to share a meal together on that dining table where conversations happen, where we know each other or get to know each other in a deep, meaningful way. So, Father, may today also be an inspiration to all of us to try and set time aside to have that family worship moment where we challenge our kids, where we remind our kids who they belong to. And once they have that, and they know and understand that, issues like identity crisis helps. It helps in a way because they know who they belong to. Issues like, where do I belong, can be resolved because they know they belong to Jesus. Issues like, what's my purpose, will also be talked about because they know that you created them for you and for a purpose. So, Lord, I pray that we'll be inspired today to reevaluate those two life-changing practices and then implement them, because it's not until we implement them that we can taste the deliciousness and the freshness of your love for us. Thank you so much for this church, and I pray, Lord, that you continue to work and mold and shape this church into a church that lives every day in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody say, amen.